Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
I think there's a big difference between wise trust and blind trust.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Lisa Turkhurst.
As I studied the scriptures, because I was really struggling, like, shouldn't my trust be unconditional? And I discovered, no, trust should be very conditional, you know, based on the choices of the other person. And sometimes distrust is the wisest choice to make. You know, look, we all make mistakes, and that's what grace is for. And, you know, I make mistakes, you make mistakes, but there's a big difference between a mistake where someone breaks your trust and it was a mistake that they broke it and they repent for it and, you know, they say they're sorry and then they commit to not doing that again. And they also want to walk through the repair process. There's a big difference between that I just described, a mistake, and a repeated pattern of behavior.
Hear more from Lisa Turkhurst today at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. Surely it was the largest glass house in the world, almost 2,000 feet long and 500 feet wide and 70 feet high, a complex arrangement of slender iron rods securing clear glass walls, a phenomenal exhibition hall in Hyde Park, London, called the Crystal Palace. Many an international fair has been held in such a structure, and this one magnificent glass conservatory established the architectural precedent. 8 miles of display tables, almost 1 million square feet of floor. May 1, 1851, was the opening date of the Grand Crystal Palace exhibition. Among the exhibits were false teeth and artificial legs, and Colt's repeating pistol, and Goodyear's rubber goods, and McCormick's Reaper. And something you may not believe, an alarm clock bed. An alarm clock bed. I mean, off in a crystal corner of this mammoth glass menagerie was displayed and demonstrated a bed mounted on a rocker mechanism with a triggering device attached to a clock, and at any time one wished to preset, the clock would pull the trigger and release the rocker mechanism, and the bed would actually toss its sleeping occupant out onto the floor. An alarm clock bed. The evil genius behind this infernal contraption was a fellow whose name was almost as intriguing as his rude awakener. He was Theophilus Carter. Fortunately, Carter was not a full-time inventor. He was in the furniture business. He made and sold furniture. His shop was just north of London. He used to stand in the doorway much of the day studying the faces of passers-by. In most cases, passers-by had more to study in him than he in them. But he was, according to one description, sometimes in an apron, always with a top hat on the back of his head, which, with a well-developed nose and a somewhat receding chin, made him an easy target for the caricaturist. The first to caricature Theophilus Carter did so in print. A mid-19th century author named Charles Dodgson fashioned a fictional character after him. Revenge was once supposed as the motive for this satiric swipe. The story goes that Carter had somehow imposed upon writer Dodgson. Well, perhaps he had, but the fact remains that when Dodgson's book was ready for illustrations to be included, the illustrator was sent to Carter's furniture shop. Carter was to be the unwitting model for the caricaturist. Dodgson's book, as well as the caricature drawing of Theophilus Carter, are still with us. You know the fictional character. You've surely seen copies of the original illustration. Now, what I've just related is virtually all we know about Theophilus Carter. He was undistinguished, really. The high point in his life was when some 6 million people filed through the Crystal Palace to witness a demonstration of his alarm clock bed. Of course, Carter was only one of more than 13,000 exhibitors, a remarkable face lost in a crowd. and yet remembered by each generation of youngsters ever since. For you see, author Charles Dodgson, whose pen name was Lewis Carroll, made sure we remembered. And as he took us by the hand with Alice into Wonderland, he introduced us to an eccentric old Londoner, Theophilus Carter, a man recognized by his omnipresent top hat and his peculiar ideas, and whose neighborhood nickname was the Mad Hatter. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Slow Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I've got a text message in. Trader Joe's open today. Oh. So as many of you know, we have a Trader Joe's now in Paso Robles, and it is opened now. I've been waiting for that to open. I love Trader Joe's. Personally, I seriously like it.
Where are they?
They are located...
By Lowe's. Okay.
Yeah, but Trader Joe's is, you like it or not, but it's, they have a Trader Joe's here now.
They don't sell any of those water pirate chips, do they?
Yeah. And so now I have Murray Powell. Board member on the Templeton Advisory Group, though he does not wear a gorilla suit. Okay. And he's also very involved in the war over rights to the Paso Robles groundwater basin. And Greg Graywall, I would say you're an expert in issues with the groundwater basin. As many of you know, there was a group of people that filed a quiet title lawsuit. You have a group of people that are trying to control the water basin. And when this happened in Kern County, they started charging people for using water underneath their own property. So people filed for quiet title. Greg was one of them. That was, 13 or 15 years ago? It's a long time. 2013. So they have had this war that is ending now. There's going to be one more hearing. They've lost every issue so far. They have one more issue, one more hearing, and only one of the parties is now part of that. Greg, will you, and Greg put an opinion piece on Cal Coast News, light at the end of the Paso Robles groundwater litigation tunnel. Tell us what's going on, Greg.
So here... in May, we filed for a summary judgment, and what that does is it's explaining to the court that there's really not that much with this issue. All the discovery has been given. Right after we did that is when Paso Robles jumped out because they didn't have any discovery to give. So, in a nutshell, this last trial is on what's called Pueblo water rights. So, San Miguel was claiming since they had a mission that the Spanish made them a pueblo, and because they had a pueblo, they have a right because it was a treaty. The problem with that was, which I wrote in the article, there was a list of missions that the Spanish had that were going to become pueblos. The pueblos are the little towns that are built around the missions. But San Miguel is not on that list. Other missions are on that list. Also, the court found that we showed that the indigenous people are known as neophytes. And that name comes from trying to convert them to Christianism. And so the mission was abandoned, and it was up for sale.
Did it sell?
It did actually sell. And the people that bought it ran a store and a saloon, and they were murdered there. 12 people were killed there. And then the Mexican government got the mission back. And then President Buchanan, when the United States took over, gave it to the Catholic diocese. So the Catholic diocese owns the mission and the 34 acres and the church.
But it wasn't a solid stream of church ownership.
No. And all through history with the Spanish, there's only four types of land grants. There's ranchos, there's presidios. Presidios are the military establishments, the missions, which were leased ground, not promised forever ground, and then a pueblo, if it ever got built around that particular mission, which was under the control of the Spanish. And that stuff didn't happen. Like Paso Robles was a rancho. Two brothers bought 26,000 acres. They each had 13,000. One brother went into partners with Frank and Jesse James' uncle, and they wanted to develop the spring bathwater that people came here for the bathhouses and stuff. That was so the why the city thought in 2017 the court allowed them to add this affirmative defense to their 20 defenses. And so we've been fighting for this time. Those defenses were broken down into six trials. We're on number six.
And what they're claiming, and when we're talking defenses, so they asked for quiet title, and then the cities and some of the communities in the county became involved saying, whoa, 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 we have more rights than them. And they had all these reasons that they should have more rights than the people that own the property over the basin. Yeah. And what has happened here is they received a small amount of allocation of water, and they basically lost every one of their contention so far, correct?
Right. That was their big thing, was the prescription trial. So the prescription is they were claiming that while we weren't looking for 5 years in a row, they took water when they weren't supposed to, even though we're paying taxes for them to manage stuff. This is the county and the city of Paso. And the city of Paso has no jurisdiction outside of their boundary, which is the city limits. But regardless of that, they were claiming that we weren't watching, that a landowner is supposed to watch these municipalities, that they were taking water. Now, you got to go back to 2012 when shallow well problems started, and then you go to 2013 when we said, hey, we got to protect ourselves. Paso's building all these hotels, all this different stuff. There's no limit on the water they're using, but the county wants all the landowners over the unincorporated area to stop using their land when we have the priority right. So it was all about the rights of the landowner versus the rights of the municipalities. They're what's known as appropriators, and an appropriator is in the back seat. The property owner has the priority right to the beneficial use of that water on his land, not transfer, not exchange, not export, not sell. And Paso Robles, all the water they use, regardless of where it comes from, goes through their treatment facility after it's used, and is dumped in the river and exported. They don't recharge anything. All the landowners over the land on septics recharge all their water that runs through their system. So we're putting back what we use to the most part. They're putting back hardly anything or nothing on what they use for the community. And it's their responsibility as a city or a CSD or the county acting as the water district in Shannon as a CSA to do the things that they're supposed to do. Shannon has state water, so they have supplemental water. Paso has Nasi and Salinas River water, so they have supplemental water. San Miguel has no supplemental water. So that was one of my other questions. If they were a pueblo, how come it was not in one report through history that they were a pueblo? How come they don't claim any water from the river because they have no rights to any water from the river? How do they claim anything other than against us? And I at the end, you know, I said, shame on these people, because here we are. They've spent upwards of $16 million. We've spent just over $5 million. And for what? For them to win just over 2,000 acre-feet of water out of 92,000.
So almost $20 million was spent trying to protect your water rights when people, and some of the people tied to trying to privatize water in Slo County were tied to the water issue. The Resnicks received the rights to operate the water basin in Kern County, and tons of farmers lost their properties because they were being charged. They couldn't afford to live where they lived. They couldn't afford to farm. And then the Resnicks bought up the property and became some of the richest people in California. Some of the same people that were involved in that then came and started eyeing the Paso Robles water basin. Dan Blackburn, my partner in Cal Coast News, he's retired now. He actually, for a short period of time, worked as a lobbyist for the water guys. Yeah. And he finally realized how bad they were. And he said it was the most he ever made. They paid him very well.
Right.
But he quit and took the story to the San Francisco Chronicle.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, the history is there, and the people are there. And all these things that we're going to talk about today, that when Murray is going to fill you in on some stuff, you're talking about the same entities, the same people that want to be in charge, the same people that don't have the priority right, that want to claim that they're the ones that need to manage the basin. They're the ones screwing it up. They're the ones that's trying to monetize the water. They're the ones that's trying to charge other people fees for what they want to do. And it's time I say this, and some people think it's a joke. It's not a joke. It's time to adjudicate the basin, and all you have to do is take the safe annual yield, divide the acres into it. That's how much you get per acre. Go do what you want to do. We don't need all these other rules and boards and attorneys and all this other stuff to manage something that they have failed at for the last 25 years, the same individuals.
And so right now you have the one, I don't even know why they're going to this hearing. I mean, there's a list of Pueblo grants that were made by the Mexican government. They're not on it. They also sold it and it became a bar. They're definitely not going to qualify even if they were on the list. So they're still going ahead. They're going to have the last hearing. Then you receive your water rights, and you've protected. You actually stopped a lot of things they were trying to do by doing this.
Yeah.
You put a wrench into their plans.
Yeah, I mean, they wanted to do water banking. Water banking is not recharge. Water banking is using your basin for their benefit. So they didn't want to build a lake or a pond above ground to where you can see it. They wanted to say, well, the water table's down, so we're going to get water and put it in there. Now that becomes our space. And then later on when things are bad, we'll be able to draw that out because it won't be groundwater. It'll be water that we put in the ground. So it's not, even though it's in the same space, it's not called.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Absolutely
that
ridiculous.
That they can sell, right?
Yeah. That's
the point.
Yeah. That water you can sell, exchange, transfer, and do what you want.
And remember, there were a lot of people back during the droughts. I think it was, I can't remember the exact year, when they asked people to stop growing. And the people that stopped growing did it because they were trying to help the community. And other people came in and planted a bunch of vineyards. And then they said, wait. Anyone that wasn't growing this year, you can't grow again. And we're not going to let you grow again until we determine. They still won't let them grow. And then you have the guys that planted during the drought going to them and going, give me, $500,000 and I'll sell you my water rights.
Yeah.
I find this horrid.
I mean, Murray can tell you there's one area called the Hardem Ranch. It's Neal Springs, South El Pomar, and El Pomar, three sides of those are the roads. They planted 800 acres. It was historically never been irrigated. It was always dry farmed. The water table, since they started those vineyards over there with the four 50-acre-foot ag ponds with evaporating water every day, that's Justin Winery. That water table over there has dropped 300 feet. At the same time in Creston, the water is 15 to 18 feet below the fire station in the middle of an alfalfa field. Every area, all these sub-areas are not the same. They shouldn't be charged the same. If there is a charge, they shouldn't be treated the same because there's areas with no problems. So why should the guy that's planted in a good area or live in a good area, why should he be paying for what's being done wrong in an area that wasn't bad but now is?
And isn't there right now, less people are a lot of the wineries are not doing well. They're fallowing. Canada was, I think it was 20 or 30% of California wines go to Canada because of the fighting over tariffs. There's a lot of small wineries have had to close. They've fallowed their farms. There's also, because of the 1 or 1.5% change in water, there are experts saying they do not think we're going to have the droughts we used to have because of the storms that come through and sit here because of the change in water temperature. So we're having more water. We have less irrigation. Are we still having dropping, though, out there? Is there still lowered water out by the, where you said it was down 30%?
Yes.
Are they doing better now with the higher levels of rain?
No, it'll fluctuate, but no. So what's happened is they have these wells that they regularly monitor. And there's five in that general area. Four of them they can't read. The one they can read is like 700 or 800 foot deep. All the others are less than 300. That tells you right there there's no water in four of the five wells, and all the others are less than 300 feet, that the water's no longer at 300 feet. There's 28 wells that have been replaced in that general area for the people that could afford it at least $80,000 a pop. And now their wells went from 250 on what they were originally till they had the problems to 700 or 800 foot deep.
New wells. Had to drill new wells. So
how does, can you tie how the quiet title ties to all the other issues and these groups that are getting together? Can you guys tie that together for me?
Let me say one thing on this. So the quiet title is called the Steinbeck lawsuit. That's the name you'll hear. And that's made up of about, 850 people in your group, in the Steinbeck group, and they're the plaintiffs. And they have essentially won, the plaintiffs, Steinbecks, including Greg, have won the five last trials. And this trial is supposedly the last one that the court is going to ever consider and then make their final decision. So, and the way I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, that basically, when the court rules in your favor here next month, and I think August 17th, a hearing?
Yeah, August 17th.
Okay, that would mean that every plaintiff of the 850 or so would then not be subject to any restrictions that the this entity now that's trying to control the water in the basin is putting out by charging people fees on their properties. They would all be excluded. But the people that aren't involved in that are still subject to some of it, correct?
We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll find out more about those that aren't excluded.
Yeah.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages tumbling on AI spending worries and surging oil prices while Treasury yields rose to their highest level in more than a year on rising rate hike bets. There are concerns about the amount of money companies are spending on artificial intelligence and technology. The Magnificent Seven big cap tech stocks fell across the board. Shares of Alphabet, the newest addition to the Dow, tumbled 7%. The Google parent delivering a robust earnings report but said it was hiking its AI spending plans, spooking investors. Shares of Tesla plunged over 14% after the EV maker posted weaker than expected second quarter earnings. The Dow winners, Honeywell Technologies, Travelers and Caterpillar. The Dow decliners, Alphabet, Amazon and Goldman Sachs. The Dow falling 507 points. The Nasdaq lower by 553. S&P 500 down 91. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Rich London, what's happening at the mattress specialist these hot summer days?
Well, not only is it hot out there, Gary, but the prices are hot in here. As you can see, Gary, I got mattresses everywhere. They're almost to the ceiling. But of course, it's getting used to that now. People come in, they go, wow, you're not kidding. I'm not kidding. I got things on sale because I'm constantly getting things in. I'm getting the deals for everybody.
The Mattress Specialist is at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
Central Coast Tractor Work, with decades of construction and earthwork experience. They are the go-to outfit for all your home, farm, and ranch excavation needs. They do site prep, excavation, grading, trenching, utility work, demolition. They even do brush removal and lots more. They handle it all, and no job is too small. Call them today and get your project moving. And by the way, they work weekends. Central Coast Tractor Work, 805-440-6361.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. And I'm talking with Greg Graywell and Murray Powell. They are two people that have been watching the Paso Robles water rowers. I'm going to start, Greg. What's going to happen? It appears you've won the lawsuit. What's going to happen in August? And then I'm going to ask Murray, how is this going to impact what's happening with the other groups?
Okay, so right now the judge is listening to items that are going to be removed from the case because there's only one issue, that Pueblo issue. And so they're basically streamlining what's going to be allowed and what's not going to be allowed. So if they don't prove that they were a Pueblo, which we already proved they were not, then the case has no legs to go forward, and that will be the end of this situation, and the judge will confirm that, and then he'll make a decision. We were ordered to write the order on what happened to the case. In normal proceedings, the person who's ordered to write the order is the winner, and, you know,
It's clear you guys have won this. Yeah. I mean, the judge has already asked you. When a judge tells you, give us a written order, you basically know you won. Yeah. So you're going to win this. You guys are going to be protected. But there's other people out that are not protected, and you still have people trying to grab the water. And you still have this group that is still having meetings and still trying to control. They won't be able to make you pay. Once you win, they can't. Am I correct?
Yeah.
You win this, so they can't come to you and say, we need $3 million to operate a year, and you have to give us this. You don't have to pay anything, and you can use your water as you want, correct?
Yeah. I mean, we were legally, all we were trying to do was say, hey, the state constitution says we get the beneficial right to the use of the water beneath our land on our land. Leave us alone. Now, these guys wanted to use more than their fair share. Everybody that lives over the unincorporated area has what's known as a correlative right, an equal beneficial use to the water. And we had certain players, these big guys and these investors, they didn't want their fair share. They wanted it all. They wanted to use theirs, yours, and they want you to pay for infrastructure. And they'll be telling you, well, we need supplemental water. We got to find supplemental water. Well, let's just go.
Do you believe they need... I know we have times of drought, but do you believe they need supplemental water in this area right now?
No, they only need supplemental. If you have the infrastructure and you have the available water and you want to help manage the basin, then why wouldn't you be using your supplemental water? Paso Robles, this is you. You have 6,488 acre-feet of Nacimiento water. You built a treatment plant to clean that water that can only clean 2,688. Why did you build a plant that can't clean what you're paying millions of dollars for to use instead of pumping from your parts of the basin saying, well, it's your right? No, it's your right to follow the law. And the law says if there's not enough surplus, you use your other water. Oh, that costs you more. Well, I'm really sorry about that, but that's the problem with being the municipality and not the overlayer. So Murray can bring you in more, too, on the fact of this Prop 26, how the 218 failed last year. We had Howard Jarvis attorneys write 28 things that were wrong with what they were doing that they never answered. They want to throw the water code, Section 10730, and claim that that gives them the right to charge to pay for management, yet Prop 26 doesn't allow for the management. Prop 26 only allows for payment of administrative people with nothing being done with the groundwater plan. So it defeats the purpose of having a group. why do we want the coyotes that caused the problem in the chicken coop to still be in charge of the chicken coop? I want the coyotes gone. In fact, there should be no limit on hunting coyotes.
So, okay, so we know that the 218, they tried to put a tax on everybody above the basin. They lost. So then they did something.
That was a year ago.
Now they're doing, can you tell us what's happening with the Prop 26, what it is, why they're doing it, and where this is going right now?
Okay, so because the 218 failed, which allowed them to do more and tax higher, they came back with this Prop 26. Prop 26 was passed to actually further reduce government agencies from avoiding property tax charges, calling them property taxes, and thereby avoiding a ballot measure that would require two-thirds approval to impose a tax. So what's happened is they have determined in Prop 26 that it is not a tax, it is a fee, because everybody that pays the fee will get a beneficial service from what this entity, this agency, is now going to do to resolve our basin problems. And the entity is called Bass Rivers Area Groundwater Authority, PRAGA. So, and it's made up of four members, Paso Robles City, Slo County, and two water districts. Yeah. And so in any event, and they're a legal public entity as a special district with a right to either tax or assess fees of what they're trying to do. So anyway, what's happened is that similar to 218, a lot of the rules for 218, which they were in violation of, also carry over to this process. And just yesterday, they had a board meeting, and they have now developed a new proposal that is about, will charge for 1 year. And by the way, Prop 26 is only a one-year matter. So what happens is they will have to go back each year and redo this. And so, and that's as of the end of June, fiscal year. So they're already into the new year. And the problem is when this PRAGA was formed back in April of 2025, there's a formation agreement. And it's interesting because of the failure of the 218, they have not developed a funding program to continue to operate. And on their own formation agreement that went into effect back in 25, there's an automatic termination clause. This, and it says, this agreement will automatically terminate on June 30th, 2026, so that was 23 days ago, if the authority has not yet established a fee or fees to fund its activities. So they have it because yesterday, in the board meeting, they approved a fee structure that now has to be submitted to the Slo County property tax collector because they've decided the way to assess this is to bill property owners on their property bills, tax property bills.
And, they want to use evaporation measure your use when the water code section says they have to measure extraction of what you're extracting for your use.
Yeah. And
what do they here's one of the things, though, that the public needs to realize. The Joe Blow off the street, what is he getting? They want to spend millions every year on operating this water group. But what does an average overlier get for this money?
So the other part of Prop 26 is that the funds that they now want to charge, they're restricted as to the use. And this entity was formed, and there's another part of the agreement. It's real clear that they were formed for the express purpose of resolving the overdraft problems. And there's a plan that was done in 2020 that lists a number of items that are part of the programs. And a lot of these programs have not even been implemented since 2020. And let me finish. And that that the funds they're now wanting to collect on this new assessment, the $1,000,001, cannot even be used to implement some of these programs.
And okay, and I want to ask Greg. Greg, the judge found there's not an overdraft, though.
Correct.
So if we have no overdraft, and they want to raise money to take care of the overdraft, this doesn't make sense to me.
This was manufactured. So you got to go back to 2014. In the middle of the night in 2014, we went from a very low medium basin to a high priority basin, and then a basin with critical overdraft. Now, they needed that title because they were planning to go to court against the landowners to sue for prescription. They needed to prove there was an overdraft to win a large prescription. They won a very small prescription of 45 years ago when there wasn't even the kind of documentation that we have today on what's going on in the basin. I have an email from the State Water Control Board, the executive director. It says, we have no technical reports or any information to show you're in overdraft.
So there's no overdraft, but they want to claim an overdraft because they want to bank and sell water.
And you get grant
money. And control
money.
Water and get grant money. But again, what does it do for the community? Why people make money, they get jobs, they run report, they put in infrastructure, they discuss selling and banking water, but what does the public get from this?
Nothing. You're going to get a bill. Just take Little San Miguel. Okay, they have 900 water meters, roughly, that paid for their lawsuit. Their water rates used to be $50 a month in 2014 for water and sewer. They're over $250 a month. I don't know what their new bill is going to be for this last 6 months. And they filed this affirmative defense for this Pueblo right back in 2017. So they've known for 10 years they were going to have to prove what they can't prove. For what purpose other than, why didn't you take the $2 million and find supplemental water and make your community better with the $2 million? Why did you use it to try to steal the rights of other people and what they're doing? And then they go under the guise of, well, we're a disadvantaged community. If you got an extra $2 million to spend on a lawsuit, I don't think you're that disadvantaged. I think it's time that you act like a community and do the proper things in your community. And you can't keep adding stuff. It doesn't matter what area it is. If you don't have the resources, you shouldn't be adding on the demand that you're going to need. And this is what happened with this push for grapes. It wasn't grapes. Go ahead.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Greg today and Murray?
I just want to make a comment to your question. What does the community get out of all this? What the community is getting right now is more housing, high-rise condos, and they want to serve people and give them place to live. And that's what's happening already. And it's being mandated from the top down to the counties and the cities. That's all I got.
Okay.
Thank you.
So let me answer this one way. So to answer your question, the whole purpose of having this this entity operating and continuing to want to tax people and be funded is to resolve the overdraft, period. So what does that mean? That means they need to implement the programs, and also there's a program that requires mandatory reductions from ag water pumpers, and they haven't done any of it. So what we're doing here and what this new budget does, and this is their term in these meetings, all we want to do here is keep the lights on for another year, and then hopefully we can resolve our bigger funding problems next year. So and where a lot of this money is going, it's going to administration. And all the administration is a consulting firm located in Bakersfield in Sacramento, who's doing all of the administration work, and they have a high-priced, overpriced LA legal counsel to take care of their internal own issues. So we're going to spend $1.1 million for a year and be right back to the same place with nothing.
We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and be back with more with Greg and Murray.
We have a beautiful new furniture store in Paso Robles, right next to Walmart. Ricky's Furniture Outlet, locally owned by fifth-generation Californian. Ricky's offers a large variety of furniture, Western art pieces, and specializes in custom sofas. Ricky's bright, beautiful showroom is a breath of fresh air here in the North County. Ricky's Furniture Outlet, on Niblick, next to Walmart, in Paso Robles.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty, that's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 0219910.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
To Sound Off. This is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday. I have Greg Graywall and Murray Powell. So what we're saying is they passed a rule where they can charge people above the base, and this group of people did. And they can charge because they want to do infrastructure and have management and do a number of things. So they're getting the right to be able to charge. But the problem's going to be, let me get a caller and then I'll finish that. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask our guest today?
Well, Karen, you know, the water thing has been going on for a long time. And if Greg could maybe allude, you know, distilling this down to a way that the public can understand it and get who's on first is probably going to be the most important thing. How does the water pirates, i.e. John Hammond and Mr. Gibson, play into this, and what would be their interests in creating a situation where very powerful people like Stuart Resnick get control like they have, like he has in the Central Valley and other areas of Southern California, where they can control water for development
and agricultural purposes, but primarily development, I think. That's just my hunch.
Okay, and, let me... Go ahead.
There's one place in close to Creston that Alex Trebek owned. It's coming up the first week of August in an auction. It's called Windfall Farms. The reason the name went to Windfall Farms, it's owned by a group called Limoneira, is because it was going to be a windfall. They bought it for money to sell water. Their cover sheet on their deal says Limoneira uses farming as a cover crop so that they can market the water at a later date where it's more needed, and they can transfer that water use to that place. So they came to Creston back in 2014 and tried to convince the people there that it would be better off to do a friendly adjudication and sell water instead of farming.
And one thing that I think, what I was saying before we had the call, was here's the thing. They passed the Prop 26. They've got a list of everybody, and they're saying you're all going to have to pay this much due to our Prop 26. So what's going to happen is you're going to win 99%. You've won your lawsuit. You've got your quiet title. 800 property owners have quiet title rights now. Are they going to say, okay, so Jack's got to double pay for his property because Joe next door got quiet title? I don't believe this whole thing is going to move forward. I believe that you winning this lawsuit is going to put a wrench in their whole plans, because I do not see how they say that those that did not secure quiet title have to pay more to cover for those that did secure quiet title. I don't know what's going to happen in a court of law, but I do believe that this is going to put a major wrench into the entire issue as this moves forward. Right now, they have plans for the Prop 26. The people that are winning quiet title are listed on that. Once they're taken off, this whole thing falls apart.
They're trying to force irrigated ag. And by what they did when they formed the two water districts, one's the Shandon San Juan Water District, one's the EPC, that's the Estrella El Pomar Water District. They thought as groups of farmers, they were going to protect themselves. We thought as farmers and other landowners over the unincorporated area that we were protecting ourselves because we were taking the legal action that needed to be done to preserve our rights. They chose not to do that. They've been paying for those two make-believe water districts thinking they were going to get something. Now they're not only paying to be in those water districts, now their own water districts are going to charge them to irrigate. And so they have to look at that and go, why would you join a group that you've been paying to for 10 years? And the one group has hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're the ones that want to make the loan to the best of the group. You got four entities that claim they were going to pay their own share. We already pay as property owners to the Flood Control Water Conservation District of the County of San Luis Obispo, and they are the actual group that was formed to be the GSA. The County Board of Supervisors acts as the board of the Flood Control Water Conservation District. They are the GSA. They've gotten grant monies of millions of dollars over the last 20, 25 years. And so why are we in any situation if they know how to do their job?
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, that's good, Greg. And you know, you're in the details, you're in the weeds. But for the public's purposes, they need to understand, why would Bruce Gibson and John Hammond be so interested in this?
Hey, Bruce Gibson ran an election and got over 60 grand from him last time. So I think he has some interest. There's certain people that have been promoted all through the different agencies with their staffs. There's a lot of consultants that are on the consultant carousel that keep coming back and making more and more money for the same reports. Murray can tell you, we showed them, there's six reports on state water. They've never changed. Some of the same consultants have been on multiple reports, and they make $300,000-$400,000
per report.
To copy their old report and get more grant money. Grant money is not free money. Grant money is other people's tax money. It's OPM, other people's money. They need to learn how to do their job to manage stuff.
Life after politics for John Hammond and Bruce Gibson need to be looked at. Anybody who supports the worst mayor the city of Paso Robles has ever had, the absolute worst. John Hammond needs to, you need to understand that whoever this guy supports in the next election for mayor or any other position, be careful of who you're voting for, because the same thing is going to happen. You're going to get a lot more of what you've got, because this guy has been sold out, in my opinion, in my view. And I think that people, the public, needs to understand how much he has been sold out
in his own
community.
Thank you very much for calling, and we have a few minutes left. Do you guys think, moving forward, if you do win this lawsuit, do you think this is going to put a major issue for the plan to make all of you pay for this agency to continue? How do they do this if you're pulled out by winning this lawsuit? And then my other question is, can other people now file quiet title?
You can always You can always file quiet title, and they could put together another group. That's why I said you might as well just adjudicate the basin. And the real thing is, this showed, for them to sue somebody else or to try to force somebody else, they have to show there's a problem. And on their own reports show there isn't a problem. There has always been a problem with shallow wells. And the county created that problem by having these ag cluster home developments and then letting irrigated ag come in around them when it used to be dry farming and cattle. And so when these guys came in these investment groups and stuff and started drilling these deeper wells, they created the issue for the people that are all in the shallow well quagmire. And so once you take care of those people, it's not that they don't have access to water. They can't afford the new access to the water because the wells are so expensive to put in a new well. And who created those problems? So if these people that created it are the ones that want to be in charge of the new management, and I say no.
And Murray, what do you think? How do they move forward if their whole plan is based on everyone paying and this lawsuit is not going... Sorry, excuse me. This lawsuit is not going the way they want it to.
Well, even before you worry about, and we don't know how many people in the Thailand in that lawsuit actually are being charged on this new fee thing that just was approved yesterday and needs to be reviewed. But the point is the amount that they now are trying to get, the $1,095,000 for this coming year, does not solve most any of their problems. So if you pull out these quiet title people that are going to win, then that number needs to be reduced even further, right? And they can't even pay the bills now. So it's like, what we're doing here is we're just allowing this public entity to continue on as a bureaucratic boondoggle for another year, and the members are all politically involved in keeping them going for more years, because a lot of it is consultants. Consultants are running the whole thing, and you know what I call this Paso Basin deal? The full-time consultant employment and it's been going on for years and years and years.
And 20 million to attattorneys. There were 20 million in 13 years.
And all the same attorneys are all in the same lawsuits. We just had one that was finished a couple months ago in Ventura County. Same attorney firms. They lost. The plaintiffs, the landowners won. Everywhere where the plaintiffs, the landowners are standing up for themselves, they're prevailing. But the way the system works, it's expensive and it takes time. But the more people that get together and fight, this thing wouldn't have taken 13 years. Well, we weren't sure about COVID, but it wouldn't have taken that if a majority of the people in the basin would have said, hell no.
Congratulations. We'll know sometime next month if you've won this, and then we've got to see how they're going to move forward. Again, they had a meeting yesterday. They want to tax the people above the basin. But is this going to work when they are listing people that are part of the quiet title lawsuit? Greg, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you, Murray.
You're welcome.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL was brought to you by Lynn Patrol, specializing in dryer vent cleaning. Don't overwork your dryer or let your vent start a fire. Contact Dylan at LendPatrolCA.com or call 805-975-5176.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.